Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. Today in class, we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 30th, 1925. It is about Philip and the Philippian jailer. You may want to turn to Acts chapter 16 and be ready to follow along with us, for we'll be looking at detail into this text, beginning with Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at this Sunday school lesson about Philip and about Paul and the jailer. See, it was after the conversion of Lydia and her household that Paul cast a demon or a spirit of divination out of a maid, which led to his and Silas's imprisonment. The spirit of divination was one which claimed the power to divine or foretell future events. By stating this fact, Luke does not necessarily endorse this claim. This familiar spirit or demon really possessed this maid. She was a slave owned by a company or two or more, and was a fortune teller who brought her masters much gain by her soothsaying. Buying this slave would now be considered, from a financial point of view, a good investment. The more superstitious people are now, the more money they pay to have their fortunes told. This demon uttered the truth in saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim unto you the way of salvation." The way of salvation is proclaimed. In this way it must be learned. Satan will tell the truth at one time in order to get to deceive people another time. It would be well if many people knew as much as Satan, namely, that the way of salvation is proclaimed, and the way to be saved is to hear the apostles of Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we should drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which, having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God also bearing them witness, both by signs and wonders, and by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. This maid, with this spirit of divination, followed Paul and his company for many days, saying that they were going to a place of prayer, which was probably the place for daily preaching. The evil spirit knew Jesus and testified to his claims, but he would not receive the testimony of the demons, and neither would Paul. Paul was sore troubled at the condition of this maid, dominated by an evil spirit, and he cast it out in the name of Christ. Jesus came to destroy the power and work of Satan, and this was one of Satan's works. "In my name they shall cast out demons," he said in Mark 16:17. It is not stated what became of this girl. I like to think that she became a Christian and may be worshipped with the saints that would gather together in Lydia's household. Lydia and I also would just like to suppose that maybe Lydia took her under her wing and helped her grow into a fine Christian lady. Well, now we read about Paul and Silas in prison. Let me read verses 19 through 24 of Acts chapter 16. But when their master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they lay hold on Paul and Silas and dragged them in the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them into the magistrates, they said, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and are set forth customs which it is not lawful for us to receive or observe, being Romans." And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their garments off them, and commanded to beat them with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Casting out this demon enraged the maids' masters because it destroyed the source of their gain. This always greatly enrages deceivers and impostors. So they lay hold on Paul and Silas as leaders in this good work and drag them into the marketplace or the forum or the open square where court and public meetings were held before the rulers. It seems they were taken before the rulers or lower officers and then before magistrates, two men called Dumavirai or praetors who exercised supreme power in a Roman colony. The wicked owners of this maid dare not state the real cause of their complaint against Paul and Silas, so they preferred the false charge that these men, being Jews, were creating trouble in the city, teaching customs it was not lawful for Romans to observe. This was also base hypocrisy, for these wicked slave owners were not so loyal to Rome as they were enraged over the destruction of their unrighteous source of gain. Paul and Silas had taught no such customs, yet this false charge served the purpose of these wicked men to arouse the prejudice of the rabble against them. Grant, prejudice existed in Europe against the Jews. Near that time, Claudius Caesar expelled all the Jews from Rome, Acts 18 and verse 2. The multitude, therefore, were easily excited against Paul and Silas and rose up together against them. The magistrates, disregarding all forms of justice and allowing the prisoners no opportunity to defend themselves, rent their garments off them and commanded to beat them with rods. Like Pontius Pilate, they yielded to the cry of the rabble. Paul and Silas were stripped and beaten on their naked bodies. Paul said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods," 2 Corinthians 11:25, and this was one of those times, the other times are not given, that many stripes were laid on Paul and Silas shows that the treatment was quite severe. The jailer, having been charged to keep them safely, cast them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. All of this was unjust and barbarous treatment. But then we read something that would be quite surprising. Acts chapter 16, 25 through 28. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the jailer, being aroused out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here, bound and tortured." not knowing but that death awaited them on the morrow. Paul and Silas were calm and serene at midnight. They prayed and sang praises to God, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake, and thanking God for his goodness to men. But if a man suffers a Christian, we read in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. The other prisoners heard these hymns and prayers. Never before had such been heard in that dungeon, and that too, at midnight. Those were strange sounds to the other prisoners. God heard these prayers and answered with an earthquake, Acts 4 and verse 31, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. At the same time, God opened all the doors and loosed everyone's bands. The jailer, it seemed, did not hear the singing. He was awakened by the earthquake. It was death by the law to allow prisoners to escape, and seeing the doors open and supposing all had escaped, the jailer preferred to die by his own hand than by the hand of the executor. Paul and Silas, as the conclusion of this chapter shows, had no intention of escaping. And the other prisoners were doubtless too, much appealed to do so. Paul in some way discovered that the jailer was about what the jailer was about to do, and cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. This voice not only snatched the jailer from the brink of eternity, but also from perdition. And that's when the jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 16, verses 29 and 30. And he called for lights, and sprang in, and trembling for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It was now the salvation of his soul and not the security of the prisoners which concerned the jailer most. Having doubtless heard something of the preaching and work of Paul and Silas in this city, that they had cast out the demon in the name of Jesus, and perceiving that all these wonders came from divine power and connecting these with Paul and Silas, he called for lights, for all was dark, and sprang in, that is, into the inner prison where Paul and Silas were, and trembling for fear, fell down before them in awe and in reverence. And he brought them out, that is, out of the inner prison, into his own house, verse 32, and says, sir, what must I do to be saved? This was not to be saved from the punishment of letting the prisoners escape, for they were all there. He recognized Paul's kindness in snatching him back from self-destruction and the power of God thus manifested. All of this touched his heart. He realized he was a sinner and desired to know what to do to be saved from sin and its consequences. This is one of the great questions of life, compared to which all others sink into insignificance. And we have Paul's answer. I'm going to read Acts chapter 16, verses 31 through 34. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that was in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. And he brought them forth into the house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. You know, oftentimes in reading that, people will read the part where Peter said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they stop right there. But there's a series of ands that follow. They had to learn what the word of the Lord was, and then they had to obey in baptism. It is after that that they were rejoicing